Hey, 4th Street Church, welcome back to our online service. I'm glad for you to be with us today. I hope you all have had a wonderful week. We are getting ready here to close out this series in the book of Jonah. We're in chapter 4 today, and Pastor Mike has done a wonderful job of just driving the points home of this book. And so as we get ready to start, I just want to pray us in. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance to be together, even as it is in spirit. I pray, Father, for your blessing upon this service, and as Pastor Mike comes up, Lord God, may you just be with him and be with our hearts, Father. Help us to see what treasures you spoke of very long ago, yet still apply to our life today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel, and as Pastor Daniel mentioned, we're going to finish up the book of Jonah today, but before we get into that, want to encourage you, come back next week because Pastor Daniel is going to be bringing the message next week. And I'm really excited to see what God's been laying on his heart during this time. Well, as I said, we've been going through the book of Jonah that's in the Hebrew Scriptures and what we call the Old Testament portion of our Bible. And what most of us know about the book of Jonah and Jonah's story, it ends somewhere between chapter 2, chapter 3 in there. We know that God gave Jonah a message that he was to give to the people of Nineveh, that Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he heads off in the opposite direction. He gets on board a ship heading across the sea. So we see that he's running from God. He's ignoring God. He's running away from God's will for his life. And God, he gets Jonah's attention by sending a storm on the sea. And the storm gets so violent that the sailors on board the ship, they're afraid they're going to die. So they get everybody on board together. Jonah ends up confessing that the storm is his fault and that God had sent this storm because it was Jonah who was running away from God. In that, we see that we end up facing a lot of difficulties in life when we are running away from God. Okay, the sailors, they throw Jonah overboard and the storm, it calms down immediately. And Jonah, he's in the water. God sends this great fish to swallow Jonah. But Jonah, he's not dead. God's not finished with him yet. He gives Jonah another chance. In here, we know that even if we've been running from God, God wants to give us another chance. God hasn't given up on you. He wants to give you another chance. He's just waiting for you to turn back to him. And while Jonah was in the belly of the fish, that's what he did. He repents. He tells God that he's ready to do what it is that God wants him to do. So God has the fish spit Jonah up on the beach. And then in chapter 3, Jonah, he goes to Nineveh. He does what God was telling him to do. He tells the people of Nineveh, they've got 40 days to repent or be destroyed. And then the people of Nineveh, they repented and they showed their repentance by fasting and praying. And God showed his mercy to them and didn't destroy the city of Nineveh. Okay, that brings us up to chapter 4. So let's look at some more facts that we know about Jonah. As I said earlier, we know the book of Jonah is one of 12 books in the Hebrew Scriptures that referred to as a minor prophet. They're referred to as minor prophets not because they're any less important than the other prophets, but just because they're a shorter book than the other books. Okay, and Jonah knew that God was a compassionate God. He knew that God was a loving God, a forgiving God. He knew that even before any of this happened. He knew that God was a God of second chances just in the fact that he was sending a prophet to the city of Nineveh to give the people of Nineveh one more chance before being destroyed, a chance to turn back to God. So Jonah knew that God was a compassionate God. We also know that Jonah was frustrated when God spared the people of Nineveh. You know, if you read the book of Jonah, you get that. But you really don't understand it until you sit and think about why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. And when he did go, he is upset with God when God does what he says he's going to do, when he fulfills his word. You know, he spared the people of Nineveh from instruction. And we know that there were 120,000 people in Nineveh. That's a little less than twice the size of the city of Madeira. But back then, that was a very large city, 120,000 people. And God was going to level his judgment against this city, the entire city. and wipe it out. But God spared the people of Nineveh because he was a compassionate God. Something else we need to know here, like Jonah, God wants to send me, or he wants to send us to tell others about his love. Okay, God, he's a sending God. He's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. He doesn't give up on anyone, so he chooses to use us to take his message of love to the world. Now, one more thing that I need to mention here is that God sent Jesus to save the world. And that runs directly parallel with the story of Jonah. I'm going to get more into that in just a few minutes. But God sent Jesus into the world. You see, God is ascending God, and he does not give up on anyone. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted us to take the time to look at the book of Jonah, because we see God's love and his plan of redemption laid out in this account. And here's what I don't want us to miss. God saves us when we turn to him, when we turn to Jesus. He gives us eternity in heaven with him. And that would be enough of a blessing. But because God is such a gracious God, such a giving God, he wants us to experience his blessings every day of our lives here on earth. And the way we do that, or the way we can do that, is to remain faithful, to remain obedient to him, to live in his will for our lives. And that's what I want us to spend our time looking at today, how to remain in God's will and to receive all the blessings that God has for us. Now, the first way, or the first step that you can take to remain in God's will and receive his blessings is to accept God's power for living an obedient life. Okay, accept God's power for living an obedient life. If you haven't figured it out yet, following Jesus, living your life for him, isn't always the easiest thing to do. You know, sometimes the decision to follow Jesus, the decision to live our lives in God's will, seems like it creates more problems than it solves. Sometimes it seems as if when we decide to live the way that God wants us to live our lives, to be obedient, to do the things with our lives that he wants us to do, sometimes it feels like it makes life more complicated. You know, this idea of that when you give Jesus Christ control of your life, that all of your problems are going to disappear is simply not true. Now, I know in my own life that I still have problems, and some of those problems that I face today are a result of my decision to follow Jesus. I know I face problems because I'm a pastor, you know, but I also know that God uses those problems to stretch me, to help me grow in my faith and my trust and my dependence upon him. You know, the truth is, I have to depend upon God to get me through. I know I'm not alone in this. I face these things that otherwise I wouldn't otherwise have to face simply because I have that relationship with Jesus. But because I have that relationship with him, I know I'm not alone. The Apostle Paul, he teaches us about living in the power of Jesus. In the book of Ephesians, he says, "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love." You see, when you're living your life in God's will, you have access to God's unlimited resources. And there's absolutely nothing that you could ask God for that he doesn't have an abundance of. So, maybe you feel you don't have enough money to do what it is that God's asking you to do. Guess what? God's got unlimited money. Maybe you don't feel like you have enough time to do what it is that God's calling you to do. Again, God is the creator of time. He'll give you the time to do it. But you have to trust in him. You have to depend upon him. You have to put your faith in him. He's a God of unlimited resources. Now, if you're doing things with your life, you know, maybe you're doing good things with your life. You're wanting to make a difference in this world, but you're doing those things on your own power. Sooner or later, you're going to end up getting tired. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to become discouraged, and you're going to want to give up. And even if you're doing the things that you know that God wants you to do, but you're still doing them on your own power, you're going to face those same frustrations. You're going to get tired. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to get discouraged, and you're going to want to give up. But if you are doing the things that God has called you to do, but you're doing them in His power, in His strength, depending on Him, trusting in Him every step of the way, you're going to avoid that discouragement and burnout. You know, the reason for that is because you're not doing it on your own. You're relying on God, the creator of the universe, to empower you from His resources, of His unlimited resources, to be able to do what it is that He's called you to do. So I need to accept God's power to live an obedient life. And second, believe God will provide all that I need for living that obedient life. You know, it is true that there are some things that God has called all of us to do, like sharing our faith in Him and others, telling others about His love, and living out the principles that we read about in the New Testament to follow in Jesus' footsteps. But it's also true that each of us have a unique calling on our lives. We're each gifted with specific talents and abilities that other people may not have. You see, God has created each one of us uniquely, and He has provided each one of us with all that we need to be able to do what it is that He's calling us to do. For example, by nature, I am an extreme introvert, and public speaking is not something that I enjoy doing at all. In fact, if I had my way, I would probably never get up in front of a group of people and speak. But because God has called me to be a pastor, speaking to you the way I am right now, it's only possible because God has called me and given me the ability to do this. And believe me, I'm not able to do this on my own. It's only because it's the power and the strength of God that is working in me. You know, I also believe that God has done the same thing for you. He's given you opportunities to serve others in ways that He's equipped you to do. And when you live out your faith in front of other people, laying down your wants and your desires for the benefit of other people, they're going to take notice. And they're going to come to a place where they're going to ask, how is it that you're able to do this? And when they ask you that, you'll be able to tell them how it's God's power that's working in your life. One of the promises that Jesus gives us, it's found in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern." You see, God has blessed you with specific gifts and talents and smarts in a specific area, not only for you to make a living, but also for the upbuilding of His kingdom here on earth. And when you use what He's given you to build up His kingdom here on earth, He will make absolutely certain that you have everything that you need. Now, some of you may be trying to figure out, what is it that God wants me to do with my life, or where is it that He wants me to serve? Sometimes the answer to that is as simple as asking yourself the question, what is it that I'm good at? You see, God has given you everything you need to accomplish what it is that He's calling you to do, and He will always, always do that. Okay, we're looking at Jonah, and we see that God gave Jonah everything he needed to do what it was that He called him to do, and I believe God's going to do the exact same for you. You know, Jonah, he had finished his task that the Lord had given him, and in chapter 4, we see what God did after he had finished, picking up in verse 6. "The Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of the discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant." Here we see that God provided something as simple as shade for Jonah, because that's what he needed. You know, Jonah was obedient, and God provided for him. Okay, sounds like a great ending for the story of Jonah, right? Well, it's not. Most people, they have no idea what happened to Jonah after the fish spit him up on the beach. Some of you may have known that he did go into Nineveh, that the people of Nineveh repented, and God ended up sparing the city. But what was going on with Jonah? Whatever happened to Jonah? Okay, we don't know everything, that happened to him, but there are a few things that we do know. So far, we've seen that God sent Jonah to Nineveh with a message to repent or be destroyed. We've seen that Jonah took some convincing before he was willing to do what it was that God called him to do, but ultimately he did deliver God's message to the city of Nineveh. We know the people of Nineveh repented and God showed his mercy to them. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. 'Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish.'" Jumping to verse 4. "The Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry about this?' And then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see if anything would happen to the city." Okay. Jonah's mission was a success. He witnessed a miracle. Some of the most feared people of the world, some of the most wicked people of the world, turned from their wicked ways and turned back to God. So Jonah, he witnessed this miracle and he was angry with God that God lived up to his promise. And God says to him, "Why are you angry about this?" You know, from this, we see that God wasn't through with Jonah yet, that God still had a plan and a purpose for Jonah. He wasn't through with him. So here's what we do know what happened to Jonah. We know that Jonah remained a prophet. Okay, the book of Jonah, it was written by him. So he hung around at least long enough after all these events happened to be able to write it down. And then it became part of the Hebrew scriptures. Plus, Jonah's referenced as a prophet when we read through 2 Kings and even later on in the Bible, we see his name mentioned. So Jonah remained a prophet. Also, we know that God never abandoned Jonah. I mean, if there was ever a prime opportunity or a prime time to abandon him, it would have been when Jonah was running away from God. God could have very easily said, "Fine, you're not going to do what it is I want you to do. I'll just use somebody else." But God continued to use Jonah. He never abandoned him. We also know that Jesus endorses Jonah. 800 years after Jonah's thrown overboard, we know that Jesus connects his story with Jonah's story. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus points out that Jonah spending three days and three nights in the belly of the fish was just a foreshadowing of his own death, burial, and resurrection. And then we're going to find out the rest of the stuff about Jonah in eternity. Now, we may not know all the answers to all the questions that we have about Jonah until we get to heaven. I mean, why did God show Jonah so much kindness? Did God send Jonah to other cities? Did he learn his lesson, or did he have to be swallowed by another fish? Okay, some of these things we will not know until we get to heaven. Okay, let's get back to our steps on how to remain faithful, how to remain in God's will. Okay, first we have to accept God's power, and then believe that God will provide. And then third, confess and repent when I need to return to an obedient life. Okay, one thing is true about each and every one of us is that all too often we get off track. We all mess up from time to time. You know, every one of us listening to this message, myself included, we all fall short. We all get off track. None of us are without sin. And it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. So it's important for us to know how God is going to respond to us in those times. You know, our meditation verse for this week tells us something about that. It's Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, "I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plans for destroying the people." Here in Jonah's words, he points out something very important for us to know, that God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. So God, he's a forgiving God. He's not a vengeful God. He's not waiting for you to mess up just so that he can zap you and be done with you. That's not at all who God is. He'll give you another chance. No matter how many chances you've already had, he'll give you another chance. I know how easily it is to look into the mirror and say, "Mike, you know better. I can't believe that you messed up again. You're better than that. I know how big of a temptation that is, because that's just part of our human nature. But when I mess up, when we mess up, when we get off track, when we run away from God, it's important for us to know that God is there waiting for us to turn back to Him. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "People who cover over their sins will not prosper, but if they confess them and forsake them, they will receive mercy." So when you mess up, when you sin, don't just try to sweep it under the rug and pretend that it never happened. Instead, own up to it, confess it, and turn away from it. Turn back to God and receive His mercy. Now, this doesn't mean that you're never going to mess up again. I mean, sometimes you may have to confess and turn away from the same thing over and over and over again until you're able to overcome that temptation. My point here is keep short accounts with God. And what I mean by that is don't let time go by. Don't let any length of time go by between the time that you mess up and you turn back to God. Confess it to Him. Go to God immediately. Confess, forsake your sin, turn back to Him, and receive God's mercy. Now, in that, I have to admit, I'm so, so very grateful that God is a merciful God. There have been so many times that I've gotten off track, that I've messed up, and I know I do not deserve His forgiveness. I know I don't deserve another chance. But God is a gracious God. We serve a forgiving and a merciful God. God will forgive you. So turn back to God, receive God's forgiveness and His mercy, and then depend on God when discouragement comes as I pursue an obedient life. Okay, that's our fourth step. Depend on God when discouragement comes as I pursue an obedient life. Okay, we all know that sometimes following Jesus isn't easy. And it's easy for us to think that it's our disobedience that's causing problems in our lives. I mean, sometimes that is true. But there are also times where we get confused and we think, you know, God, I'm doing everything right. So why am I coming up against these problems? Why am I having this difficulty in my life? I'm doing everything that it is that you want me to do. You see, sometimes God allows problems and difficulties to happen in our lives so that we can be stretched, so that our faith, our trust, our dependence upon Him can grow. You see, whenever we pray, God, I want to be closer to You. I want to be more like Your Son, Jesus. Part of what we're saying is, Lord, I want to learn to depend upon You more and less upon myself. And one of the ways that God works in your life is to allow adversity to come into your life. But here's the thing. God is your biggest fan. He's cheering you on. Even when you face adversity, know that He's in your corner. He's there encouraging you to continue on. See, God sees you facing that adversity, and He knows that if you will just rely on Him a little bit more, you'll get through whatever it is that you're facing. And your faith and your trust in Him is going to grow, and you're going to be better because of this adversity. So don't confuse adversity with punishment. Adversity, it's an opportunity for your faith and your dependence upon God to grow. For example, in the story of Jonah, it says, God also prepared a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it soon died and withered away. Okay, to be honest, I don't know for certain whether this was judgment or an opportunity for Jonah's faith to grow, but I am guessing that it was an opportunity for his faith to grow, because it's through adversity that we have to learn to depend upon God. So trust God, depend upon Him, and experience God's blessings both now and for eternity from an obedient life. Okay, we've seen this throughout this series. God rewards our obedience, and God will provide everything that we need when we put Him first. I mean, God promises us that the obedient life, walking in His will, is the best possible life that we could live. But the blessings of an obedient life, they don't end here on earth. If you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, You know that you have far more to look forward to on the other side of this life than there is right here now on this earth. You know, if you have faith in Jesus, your eternity is secure, and you're going to enjoy the benefits of an obedient life both now and forever in eternity. And what's great about this story of Jonah is that it points to this. It's a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus Christ and how he came to take away the sin of the world and to give us the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with him and with the Father and to enjoy God's blessings both now and for eternity. During his time here on earth, Jesus said, "For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." 800 years after Jonah was thrown overboard, Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And when he came back to life, he brought life with him, and he gives us life today. And the story of Jonah, it's so amazing because it points us straight to Jesus. It points us straight to the hope that we have of spending eternity with God forever in heaven. Now, as we wrap up this book of Jonah, I want to pray for you. You know, and I don't know where it is that you are right now. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. You know, maybe you've never made that decision to be obedient to Jesus and follow him. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to do that. You know, maybe you feel like you're in the belly of the fish right now. You're in a dark place. You're questioning everything that you've ever thought to be true. Let me encourage you, hold on to Jesus. He's not going to let go of you. You know, there's hope if you continue to be obedient and live the life that he's called you to. You know, maybe you've been running away from God. You know, you're headed towards Tarshish. You need to know that God hasn't given up on you. He's there. He's just waiting for you to turn back to him. Now, before I pray, let me give you one more verse of encouragement. It's from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to be obedient to you. And Lord, some of us, we strayed off the path. Some of us have been running away, and some may have never come to you before. So, Father, I pray for those who are coming to you for the very first time. Hear the cry of their heart. Make yourself real to them. You know, if you're listening to this and you want to give God a chance in your life, you want to become a follower of Jesus, I just encourage you to pray this in your heart. Just pray, "Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were raised from the dead and that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Be my Savior, my Lord, from this day forward." Amen. And now I want to pray for the rest of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of Jonah and what you've shown us through it. We know how much we are like Jonah, and we're not always obedient to you. Yet you are always there, always ready to take us back. And Lord, right now, we commit to do what it is that you called us to do. We give you permission to continue to stretch our faith so that we may see great things happen here in our midst. And thank you for being such a wonderful God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, again for those words of encouragement. And I'm confident that God has spoken to you through this entire series over some area in your life where you're going to be able to improve, where you're going to be able to look more Christ-like. So before we close out, can you please give me an opportunity to pray for us as a church family? Lord, I want to thank you for those who have heard this message, who have struggled with whatever area of their life, Father God. And I know that you've spoken directly to their heart through this. I pray, Father, for our church family, that you would strengthen them, that this time of quarantine would be one where they're refreshed, where when they get back to face-to-face meetings, Father God, that they would have a testimony to share of your goodness and your grace in their life. Well, we thank you guys for joining us. We just want to let you all know that, again, we've spoken, you've heard us speak a lot about all the changes that have been going on here at 4th Street. And we want to welcome you to come down if you have time. Come check it out. Monday through Friday, we're in the office. Come see what's new. You're going to be surprised. And also, I just want to welcome everybody next week who's going to join me online and just hear what the Lord has been sharing with me through this week. So again, have a good weekend. God bless.